this song this morning. How many years have you come to Monarch and had the Lord to talk to your heart? It's not just about being with the people, and that is valuable. But for the Lord, how many times He has come and met with us? And how do I respond? What is my response to that? To be able to say, you know, from a child, I can remember being in the old green tents. And when it's this hot, those old green tents had just a certain smell about them, almost like they were burning. But you know, back then we didn't have air conditioning, so we didn't know what we were missing. I work as a maintenance man in an office building, making sure that the air conditioning stays real cool. So I'm having to pay for it when I come out to Monarch away from the cooling. But this song says, beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways. So what does Monarch mean to you? To me, I think of the times when the Lord has come and dealt with my heart and shown me, Dan, this is who you are, but I'm not going to cast you aside. I'm calling you to draw you closer to myself. Her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. I appreciate the opportunity to be at Monarch again. And this year, I would like to again, just as in years before, open my heart to the Lord. Show me. Show me places that I can draw closer to you. That when I leave here, I can be a better example for you. I desire that. This afternoon, what I'd like to talk to you about is many times we will come up against troubles in our life. And if we don't compare them to God, we run into trouble. When I compare them to just my resources, I will come up short. But have you ever gotten a picture of the redwood forest, a redwood tree out in California? And it really is not that impressive unless you put something against it, a man standing beside it, and then it starts showing you how big that tree is. If you just had it in a picture by itself, it wouldn't show up that much. It's just something big. But you've got to put something against it that shows you size. And today what I'd like to do is do that for God. To really appreciate His size, I need to put some things up against it. Those things that I thought were some big troubles, I need to measure them up against there. You remember Isaiah did it. He said, in the year of King Uzziah, I saw the Lord. And he had measured it against something to where he said, I saw him high and lifted up. That's what we need to do. That's what I need to do in this day and time that we're living in. How do I see the Lord? I want to see him high and lifted up. Then the next time I bring him a problem, I don't measure it against this trouble that I'm in and how will I come out of it. It's like we heard this morning. There's a God that if we measure it against it, he's well able. When compared to God, everything else is small. There's no giant that compares at all to the Holy One. And I would like to try this afternoon, and how do you do it? How can a human being try to measure God? It will be at our very best. It'll be like the little man up against the redwood tree and we'll come up short. But God tried to give us a picture of it when he talked to Job. You remember when Job measured out his troubles? And it was just about to get him down. Now, I like how Job started. First couple chapters it said, in all this he sinned not, nor did he charge God foolishly. But you know, you put about 38 chapters into a trouble, and you can start having some other things that you remember on down there, maybe in the 30th chapter or somewhere down there, he said, if I just had an opportunity, I'd like to tell God a few things. You know, I'd like to be able to tell him how things are going. How did God deal with that? He said, that's right. He said, okay, Job, gird up your loins now. Tighten up your belt, stand up, because I've got some things I want to ask of you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? See, that's the postcard now that he starts putting man up against God. And he went for a couple chapters, maybe 38, 39 in Job, asking him questions. Where were you when this happened? And finally, Job said, you know, I shouldn't have spoke. And maybe, you know, okay, maybe this thing will die down now. But God told him, said, nah, gird up your loins now. We still got a ways to go. There's still a lot of things I've done that you were never a part of. And when he finished, Job was through. He said, I abhor myself. I'm going to get down in dust and ashes. There's nothing left to me. I finally got a picture of who God is compared to this trouble that I've been going through. And I believe today that the Lord would like, he's been trying to help me to start doing some things to compare to God. So I'd like for us to go to a place today, Psalms 115, starting in the first verse. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. And I believe that's what we're coming to Monarch for again. One more year. Not unto us, not as a person, because I'm compared to God like that little man is up against that redwood tree. My only desire is, Lord, that your name would get glory. For thy mercy and thy truth's sake, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? You remember the times when the heathen could say that? It was times when the children of Israel, God's chosen people, had been disobedient. And God was bringing them through a place to try to draw them back. But he's saying here, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Where Job said, why are you allowing these things in my life? God had a purpose for it. He has a purpose for the things that he sends into our life. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. But I'd like for us to take a look at the fourth verse. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. To think of God is we start trying to measure against God, and then to think of building an idol that would try to match who God is. Here it says, their idols are silver and gold. And many times today we may not be able to relate because I don't have something out in my yard or in my house that is an idol. But I want to tell you where it says their idols are silver and gold to the guys that are here today. If we're not careful, we will let our job become an idol to us. I can remember it as I was young, had my children coming along, and it's the Bible teaches us that you work. The man gets out and provides for the house. So I did that. But you know what? There's a balance even in that. Because if I'm not careful, I will make an idol of my job. I will, because I am supposed to. I have a God-given requirement to get out and provide for my family. I would get to doing it where holidays come along. You know, times when I should be with my family. And there's this drive. It pays 2.5 times. We can have Christmas on any other day, and I get more money for it. There was a little incident that happened in my life that was a shock to me. As I went through there, my little boys are growing up. You know, all of ours, to the young families here, it seemed like my children will never grow up. They will, and they'll do it quick. And as I was going through this stage, one day I said, you know what, we're hearing today about quality time. Dad and Mom both working, and so to justify ourselves, we give quality time. We have about 30 minutes in the evening, and we spend a little time together, and it's quality time. Well, I decided, okay, I've been working a lot. I'm going to take my boys to the park. You know, I'm going to spend some quality time with them. I'm talking about this verse here, their idols are silver and gold, and if we're not careful, we can get caught in that. So I went by the store and bought a bat and a ball. And the boys, little boys are sitting in the back seat there. So I get in the car, and you know I'm feeling good. I'm fixing to spend some quality time with them. And I hand it over in the back seat to the boys, and they hold it for a little bit. And one of them says, Dad, there's no instructions with this. Now, you know what? There's not supposed to be any instructions with a bat and a ball if the dad's been doing what he's supposed to have been doing. And so when I thought about that, it was a correction to me. The very things that God tells us, take it on, it's your responsibility, can become an idol to us. But look at these idols. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Can you imagine swapping the God of heaven? You remember when a house was built for God. Solomon built it. You remember when Solomon got through and he's fixing to hand it over to God? What did he say? You know, God ought to really be impressed with what I've done for him. Instead, over in 2 Chronicles 6 and 18, he has a picture of who God is. Because he says, "Will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less this house which I have built." So you see the difference whenever I start seeing who God really is. How would I be able to compare anything else to it? So you start taking the idols that men were able to produce. Do you remember the time when there was a battle and the children of Israel had not been living like they were supposed to? And they lost the battle on the first day. But they said, "I tell you what, I have an answer for it. We need to bring the ark in with us, because that's our symbol of God being with us." And they did that, but God was gone. He's not going to be held into a house that I built for him unless I'm living the life that makes him want to live there. They took the ark in. You remember that? And they rejoiced when the Israelites saw this coming in, because it has worked so many times in the past. They rejoiced. We'll win now because God is here with us. We're going to have more than just a box that worked in the past. I'm going to have an experience that's working every day in my life. Because the next day, you remember what the folks over on the other side of the Philistines said? "What's that noise that we're hearing? We whipped them today, and now they're rejoicing." They told them, they said, "Here's what's happened. They brought the ark in. God's with them now. You better fight hard tomorrow." And the Philistines did, and they won. So they took the God of the Israelites, took the ark, and took it to the house of their God. You remember Dagon? Said they took it to the house of Dagon, and they set them up side by side. This is God of the Israelites. Here's our God. And tomorrow morning when they go back, which one's bowing to which one? You remember Dagon? He's laid down, and he's just made of something that's not supposed to move. But he's laid down, just a symbol. This God that keep thinking of the picture of the redwood tree against the little man, this God that is bigger than any idol that can be made, Dagon lays down. But you know what? They don't take that enough yet. They say, "Well, could have been an accident. You know, it fell down, so we're going to stand him up again." But the next day, he was laying down, and he wasn't fixable. He had lost too many parts to be stood back up, and they were through with him. I look at that today, in this day and time we're living in, with us under this tabernacle, there are many things that are calling to be our idol.
That's right.
Set him up right next to God. There are things that if I'm not careful, I will allow into my life. And I will say, this can be set right up beside God. But you know what? I cannot, just like the children of Israel, could not make God work. Had the very things that worked maybe last week, and they don't work this week because I'm not obeying the Lord. So I look at this because I look at another time when the children of Israel got such a look at who God was. You remember at Mount Sinai when the Lord said, "I want you to bring the people. I want them to see me up close." And it said that mountain was a smoke as the smoke of a furnace coming up, and God's presence was there. And they said, "You speak to God and tell us what he says, because we're so afraid that we may die." They had such a respect and reverence for the God of heaven. How could you ever lose it? It hadn't been but just a very short, maybe even weeks before, that the Red Sea had dried up and let them cross over. You know, we sometimes in our own lives, the Lord will work a miracle in our life, and I will say, "I'll never forget what he's done for me." And if I'm not careful, just like the children of Israel, just a little ways on down the road, I'll go to murmuring and complaining because I'm missing a little something that will add comfort to my life. And I look at this, how the Lord visited the children of Israel, showed himself so strong to them. What happened within 40 days? You remember when Aaron and the children of Israel said, "Don't know what's happened to Moses. He's gone. Up, make us a God." How can you, just keep in mind the picture, the man up against the redwood tree. How can you ever make something that'll compare to the God of heaven? But they're saying, make us a God that'll lead us on over into this land that he's promised for us. I want to be very careful, because I tell you, in the day and time that we're living in, there are many things a calling. This God can be placed right up next to the God of heaven. It'll never work. It won't work at Monarch. It won't work at home in my individual life. I'm going to have to provide a vessel. When Solomon built the temple for the Lord and he accepted it, it was only because he had been living the life. If he hadn't been, the Lord would have never moved in it. And do you remember what the Lord told Solomon? I'll be here. I want to be here for future generations. But I want to tell you, if you don't follow my law, if you turn your back on me, this place is going to be a byword. People are going to come by here and say, what happened here? And the answer will be, they turned their heart from the Lord. That has been a stir to me in the day and time that I'm living in. Because when I start allowing other gods to be brought in, and I would never say that there's any God that will compare to the God of Israel. But I want to tell you, I can start building things into my life just like I did when I said it's only right to work and I let it take too much of my life. There are other things. You know, we can get to a place that our automobile, our house, our belongings can become an idol to us. We'll never say it is. But if it takes too much of my affection, I have been stirred with a verse that says, so much the more as we see the day approaching, meet together, assemble yourselves together. You know what? There's a pull right now. There are so many things to keep you busy, to keep you from service. And I'm not talking about Monarch. I'm talking about when it gets down to Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. It will end up being, where's my God? If I allow some temporal things to come into my life that draws me away from this God of Israel, I'm going to lose the power that I had with him, and I don't want to do that. But what I'd like to look at today is for those that say, and as the Lord comes along to me and says, Dan, you've let your affections go too much this way to something that was even legal. Now I want to draw you back because I want you to focus only on me. As I start doing that, he has a pull. He has something that will take us through no matter what the world says is important today. Set your affections on. There is a place by the Lord, and I'd like for us to look at it today. There's Psalms 20 and 7. Some men will put their trust in different things. And when we look back at what they had, we probably cannot hardly relate. Some men trust in horses, some in chariots. But we're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. Now we can move that on down to 2011, things that we can put our trust in. I want to tell you, there have been idols made to the medical profession today. When it comes down to a place that it looks like my life is fixing to ebb away, I will set something up right next to God that I desire to keep me here. We maybe can't relate to the trusting in chariots and horses, but I can spend my life working hard because I've set up an idol for retirement. I have built myself a little empire that will be able to take care of myself in that end. Without me, and I would never say it, but I can set it right up against God that says, put your trust in me. Because here's the things that has happened. I'm watching it happen. As the economy falls and someone has spent their life trying to build a secure little empire that'll take me through retirement years, and it falls, when the stock market goes down, it really doesn't affect somebody that has put their money in that's not going to take it out this week. But to that man that has retired and that is now his income, if that stock market falls 50% and he's drawing it out this week, he's taking a huge loss. We have in our office building at Oklahoma City, we have a company there, Merrill Lynch. People are coming and going, working with the stocks that they have put in it. There was a man came into the lobby one day, and He had worked all his life, built up something that was intended to be secure for him for retirement. But back a few years ago, it started crashing. And he went in, Jesse Ray works with me there, and he knew the man. They visited as he was getting on the elevator to go up. And he said, "Things are changing for me. My retirement is crashing, and I don't know what to do about it." He went up and checked to see where it was. And about 2 days later, his name was an obituary. He'd committed suicide. Some men trust in one thing. Some men trust in another. I believe what the Lord would like for us to do is put him up where he belongs and realize, you know what? If I put my trust in him, we can try, all of us can try to gauge out into the future, and it'll bring us a dismal look unless we choose to trust in the Lord. I can remember back in 1970 when there was a kind of a little proclamation made by Russia. Said, "We're going to take the United States without a shot within just a few years." Some of you may have heard that. Well, Russia's no longer hardly a threat. But there were people among us that had small children and thought about that, and it almost caused them to have a nervous breakdown. How will my children survive should that happen? I want to tell you, some men trust in one thing and some men in another. We're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. He will take us through whatever can happen out in the future. It matters not. There's another verse that I'd like to go to. Psalms 34 and 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I have found something for myself over the last little while. I started listening to the news too much. And this is for me. Because what it started doing was I started getting agitated about conditions around me. I started spending too many hours thinking about how they ought to be changing the government. This one says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. There is no time left for me to spend time wasted. I can't change some things around me." But this says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." And I look at that magnify a lot of times. Well, in fact, I've been kind of watching around a little bit some people that are reaching the age of 40, and they're having to put on some magnifying glasses to be able to read anymore. When I came to that time about 10 years ago, I lived in denial for quite a while, and I would squint my eyes and do everything to not have to face it. But there are many of us now that our eyesight is getting to the point that I've got to have something to magnify it for me to be able to read. That's not what we're doing to the Lord here. You take a magnifying glass and you hold it on a bug and it makes it look a whole lot bigger than it is. That isn't it. What this is saying to me, magnify the Lord with me, is saying start dumping some things out of my life that keeps him from being who he wants to be in my life. Let me start seeing who he really is. I don't need to make him any bigger than he is. You take a look at the redwood tree, you can't get it all in a postcard. It's so big. Well, same way with the Lord. I'll never be able to contain him, that now I understand who God is. But I'm finding this magnifying happens as I start dumping out some of my own opinions, some of my self-analysis of some things and how things ought to be going, even among the church, even right around in my own life. What I need to do is start magnifying the Lord. Do you remember there was another place that talked about magnifying the Lord? And that was with Mary, the mother of Jesus. When the call came to her, here's what your mission in life is going to be. And she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And you know what? I believe she really, I can't imagine that she didn't know what a cross that was going to be. When she tries to tell her friends and her neighbors, "This child is conceived of the Holy Ghost," who's going to believe it? But you know what? She took the message. Here's what the Lord has for me. And she said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." I would like to magnify the Lord more in my life. What it's going to take for me, what it's going to take, is I had to start putting out of my life some things that would pull down who he is. And I want to tell you, the news is one of them. If we listen to the news, it'll tell us that life is dismal. And why are you smiling? Because it's supposed to be dismal. Don't look for a happy day, because it'll only get worse, not to the Christian. You know, I've thought about it. What if the stock market crashes? What if there is no Social Security when I get there? Is that the end of life for us all? I want to tell you, I've been thinking about for myself, if it's gone when I get there, I'm starting to have more respect for the folks there at the entry to Walmart, the Greek people, because I say, I can do that. I can do that. If Social Security is gone, we need to start looking at the positive. God will take care of us. He will provide for me. There's another verse, Psalms 48 and 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. As I start getting my eyes off of the things around me, and maybe as we heard this morning, my inabilities to be able to do anything about them, or to be able to do anything for the Lord, but I just provide him a vessel, then I can start having some room to magnify the Lord. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. God is known as in her palaces as a refuge. A refuge in 2011, if your stock market crashes for you. I found a refuge now from every sorrow. It's not just a mirage. I hope it's there when I get there. It's there. It's been there through all generations, and it will be there from here on out. There's another one I want to go to, 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. This applies to 2011. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Now, that looks like that ought to be a pretty fearful thing. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. I was looking at the commentary on that. It says, though the earth should change its structure in these convulsions, or though it should perish altogether, when natural things around us start happening, it doesn't mean there's not a fear within me. When the tornado happened just a few weeks ago in Joplin, I don't believe this means I stand out in my front yard defying nature. No, it says whatever comes through this, God will be with me in the end of it. In 94, do you remember the earthquake by Indonesia? As I look at that and the result of it, 5,000 miles away from that earthquake, people were killed because of what it caused to happen in the ocean. And it tells me about God. I always thought, well, how could we not have seen that with a satellite? How could you not have seen the waves going across the ocean? And here's what I've read about it. That wave didn't go on top of the ocean for 5,000 miles and kill someone. Said that wave started in the bottom of the ocean, and it traveled along the ocean floor. There was people, and I saw a picture of it. There was a motel that was out in one of the places that was devastated. There was a motel that had a camera out over the beach. And they had no anticipation that something was going to happen. They're just looking for something that goes wrong for safety's sake. But at the time of this, since they had a recording, they showed it later. And out over the ocean, everything is fine. There's people out just kind of like we do from day to day, not expecting the end to come. These people were, some of them playing volleyball out on the beach. And then as I looked, knowing what's going to happen in just a couple minutes, I could see out on the horizon, you could hardly even mark it with a pencil, as thin as the line was that went across the horizon there. But in just seconds, that started getting bigger, to the point that I could watch and see people then turn and look. Here's the big wave coming. And you would see them motion to others, take a look at this. But almost before they had time, it was too late. You could see the water then come crashing. And what had happened was, as it was coming along, it's underneath. It's traveling from the bottom. There were some fishermen in a place that had gone out several miles that morning, and they said they felt a ripple on the surface of the ocean, never knowing that it had passed underneath them. And he said when they went back to the village where they normally went, there was nothing there. The thing had traveled along the bottom. Now you think of the force. I can have fear about what the future holds, or I can say, you know what? God is in control of all things. Those things that happen, it says, therefore, will not we fear. The Lord will send some things. He's going to send. I have a feeling, folks, we're fixing to see some things in America. And each of us are going to pay along with everyone else. When we pass laws, as have been passed recently, that, okay, now we will condone same-sex marriage, God will wink at that for so long a time, and then he brings justice. But what I want to say to us, when it comes, and I have to pay also because I live in the same country, I want to tell you, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Whatever should come our way. I thought of this song, see the Lord hath made us by his mighty power, and he watches o'er us every day and hour. This we do remember when we kneel in prayer. God is up in heaven. God is everywhere. As he did with the children of Israel, when punishment comes, there will be some people like Daniel that can go into captivity and still live for the Lord. Come through it, still saying, not even getting a bad attitude about it. Being able to say when he went down into the lion's den, you could have a lot of things to say to the king when he gets out the next morning and says, Daniel, you still alive? You could at least say, what were you thinking when you threw me in here? But what was his response? Oh, king, live forever. Yes. A respect to the one that had put you in there. I believe God has that for us. In the third verse of that 46th chapter, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, while all that's happening, here is something for the people of God. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. When I look at that, God shall help her, and that right early. There is nothing quite as peaceful as for you to go to a place where there is a gently flowing river. There's just something calming about it, sitting on the banks of it. Have you gone to the ocean? That's interesting too, but for the waves crashing, after a while you kind of get tired of all the noise and everything. We have a song that says, not like waves upon the ocean, tossing wildly, rolling high, or the tempest's great commotion as it sweeps across the sky, but like twilight, gently stealing, or the verdant shadedly. So the holy saints in Zion rest from all their sins set free. In a day when it still doesn't matter that everyone else says you can't live free from sin, we can still rest from all of our sins set free. There is, and down in the 10th verse, says, be still. This is what we're all going to have to work on in this day and time. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. This says that every knee one day is going to bow. We may see some of that ourselves. It may not be the end of the world before that starts happening. But here it says, I'm going to be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So sometimes it's going to take us to be able to see God and see the size he is compared to my troubles. I'm going to have to get real still. And I've been looking at a verse of song in number 109. Because there is a lot of commotion around us fighting for us not to get still. But this verse, the first verse of number 109, says, alone in some secure retreat, the sky o'ershadows me. All nature smiles so soft and sweet. I'm thinking, Lord, of thee. Have you been able in 2011... to shut things off around you, all the turmoil that is going, and find a secure retreat some quiet place to where you can turn your mind toward the Lord. This chorus says, thinking of thee, O Lord of thee, musing on things above, till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. Some of the young people probably don't even remember the old radios that you had to turn the dial. And to be able to get to a station that you could listen to, you had to put up with a lot of squealing in between them as you adjusted that dial and tuned it in to what you were wanting to listen to. There's going to be a lot of things making racket around us until I am tuned. I keep on adjusting it. I'm moving past the news that I hear. I'm moving past the negative that is fed to me. Till every chord within my soul is tuned with heavenly love. That's available for us. There's another one in song number 295. It says, there is a blessed pavilion. In 2011, there's still that place, a sacred inner court, the place of God's own dwelling with all the world shut out. Is it possible in this day and time that I can come to a place in my everyday life that I can shut the world out? It's possible. O holy resting place, O calm and pure retreat, where God unveils his face and life is only sweet. Sometimes we can hear things like that and it sounds like something that is not attainable. It is obtainable in 2011. O sweet and tranquil home where only God is known. I want to be able to have that in my life because there are things that are calling to be able to set up a God right next to the God of heaven. But there's a song that I think about. If we will come to a quiet place, shut the world out. Here's a song that will help me every time. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. Now, it doesn't take much for the Lord to be able to get my attention. I can look at nature around me, and my heart is turned toward the Lord. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Every person in the world sees nature. Not every person is drawn to God by nature. It will cause us to, we're going to have to come to a place where we can be still before the Lord and we'll start seeing him in everything around us. There's another verse that says, when through the woods and forest glades I wander, hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grander and hear the brook and I feel the gentle breeze, does nature do anything for you? Does it turn your mind toward the Lord? Or are we in a place where we are moving so fast? Seeing a flower doesn't turn my heart toward the Lord. Seeing nature, I believe he intends for me to see the things around me and it turn my heart toward him. If I'm not careful, I'll move right through life and nothing touches me. But my reaction, as Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. I want to do that. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art. Have you ever gone to a Chinese restaurant? There's one in Guthrie that I guess the people really believe in it. I don't know if it's Buddha or who, but it has a little bowl in front of him that you can give him a little offering. So when we go in there to eat Chinese food, we'll see they've given him an orange. They've given a little fruit offering for him. You know what he does with it? He lets it sit right there and spoil because he can't do a thing with it. This is the idol that we're talking about there in Psalms that says it's the work of men's hands. Here we've got a God of heaven that cares about the needs of my heart. Those things that he sees, Dan, if you don't change that attitude that you have, there's a very good chance I can't take you into my heaven. And he cares. And yet many people have said, here's who we'll trust in. This man right here, this idol that will set a bowl of fruit in front of to appease him. You remember we heard this morning where Elijah with the prophets of Baal, 450 of them desiring their God to answer. And you remember it came to the place, Elijah knew it wouldn't happen. And it came to the place where he kind of mocked them. You need to cry a little louder. He may be on vacation. He may not be able to hear. I want to tell you, we're serving a God that the only reason he will not hear is if I've got something that is between me and him. Otherwise, he will be there. He will hear. There's one more thing that these idols cannot give us. And it's the last verse of that song, How Great Thou Art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall thrill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. That in this day and time that we're living in, when the idols of this world can do nothing for me, the idols that, if I'm not careful, I'll set them up in my own life. Out ahead, I'm going to spend eternity somewhere. Christ wants to take me to heaven. I want to make it. I desire your prayers.